I'd like to call your attention to the book of Esther. We're going to be reading out of the fourth chapter, verses 10 through 16. Fifth chapter, verses 1 and 2. St. John 15 and 13. The book of Esther. In the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 10, the Bible reads, "Again Esther spake unto Hatak, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, all the king's servants, and the people of the king's provinces, do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go gather together all the Jews that are present to Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." Chapter 5, 1 and 2. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Supporting verse John 15 and 13. "Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The base of those verses, we'd like to propose a question to you this morning. If you would, look at your neighbor and ask them this question: are you willing to take a chance on love? Are you willing to take a chance on love? How many of you know the Lord is still worthy to be praised? Hallelujah, Jesus. That is a promise to God. And we promise God something, we have to stick to our word. We promise in the Lord, "I will stick with you. I will do what you have me to do for the rest of my days." There have been times in maybe some of our lives where we've had some ups and downs, I'm sure. And there may have been even times where we felt a little disgusted and almost in a state of depression, but we began to talk to the Lord. And how many times have we said, "Lord, if you would come to see about me, Lord, I'll do this. Lord, I'll do that. Lord, if you just help me out this time." How many of us have had that same old story? "Lord, I won't do it no more, but Lord, if you just bless me this time." Anybody in the house know what I'm talking about? I realize that I'm in the midst of a people that we have not always been saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. How many of you know that we had a time when we had the times when we were down in the dirt, rumbling in the dirt, in the mud, and wondering whether the Lord cared about us or not? Didn't have sense enough to know that God was watching over us. Hallelujah, Jesus. And the Lord loved us so much that he loved us despite ourselves. How many of you are glad that you serve a God that can look beyond your faults? You got some faults this morning. Everything is not right with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody took time to look in the mirror this morning? that person you saw in the mirror is not perfect. That's just you. Hallelujah. But remember that you were made from the dust of the ground. And the Lord our God breathed his breath into your nostrils and you became a living soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Lord told me to come down to Faust Chapel this morning and ask you how many of you are willing to take a chance on love. What if you were about to lose your very life, if it depended on life or death, if you served God or not? How many of you could say, if I perish, let me perish. I'm going to see the King. Oh, if I perish, oh, oh Lord, yeah. Oh, if I perish, Lord, let me. Oh, I'm going to see the King. Lord, if I perish, let me. Oh, Lord, I'm going to see the King. Through hard trials and tribulation, persecution, I'll be faithful. I'm going to see the King. Oh, through hard trials and tribulation, persecution, I'll be faithful. I'm going to see the King. Oh, if I love, oh Lord, I'm going. Mother won't go, my father won't go, my sister won't go, my brother won't go, but I'm going to see the King. Oh, if my spirit, Lord, let me. Oh Lord, I'm going to see the King. Mother won't go, a father won't go, a sister won't go, a brother won't go, but I'm going to see the King. Oh, if I, oh Lord, oh Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, when this story and this text was written, Queen Esther said, if I perish, I perish. She was making a bold statement that no matter what comes or happens to me, I have courage now to move forward. And I must do what God would have me to do. But in the meantime, I've already made up in my mind that if I perish, I'll perish. I believe Esther this morning had an answer for us. Because she was willing to take a chance on love. We've been blessed by God to assemble ourselves here again at this given time, and everything around us seems to be failing. Our world system as we know it is in a shambles, and we are wondering and praying and hoping that things will get better. There are those this morning that understand that trouble don't last always, because you've lived long enough and you've had enough ups and downs. You've had enough worldly and life experiences to know that every day is not going to be a sunny day. You're aware of the fact that you have not dotted every I, crossed every T along the way. You're aware of the fact this morning that you are not perfect. You don't do everything just right. But how many of you are glad that you know something about Jesus? You see, I find this morning that Jesus is the one that makes the difference, because in the midst of everything falling apart around us, let us remember that our hope is built on nothing less than the blood of Jesus and his righteousness. And if we are planted on a solid foundation, then I believe that the Lord that we serve will not let us fall. One thing we have to understand, that if you fall, God is able to pick you back up. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Anybody in here ever been down and out? Anybody ever been flat down on your back and didn't know how you were going to make it? Sometimes you didn't even realize, how did I get myself in this mess? You see, sometimes we do things and we don't really think things out. We don't follow through and we don't realize what we are putting ourselves in. And how many of you heard somebody say, trouble is easy to get in, but it's a whole lot of trouble to get out of trouble? How many of you found yourselves realizing that even though when you thought you didn't have nothing, God still made a way out of no way? Do understand that if things get stressful and we continue to juggle things around, how many of you know how to juggle your bills so that you have a little gas money left in your pocket? Juggle your bills so that just in case something else comes up that you got a little change somewhere. And then sometimes you can't juggle, you don't have anything left to juggle. You get to juggling and you done juggled out. And then there are those of us that say, I'm going to rob Peter to pay Paul. How many of you been robbing Peter to pay Paul, but then you find one day when you go and Peter done got broke? Somebody know what I'm talking about in here this morning. It's easy to walk around with a smile on your face, but somebody don't know your story. Somebody don't know how hard it is for you to actually have that smile on your face. How many of you have been even going through hell and still had a smile on your face because you refused to let the devil know that you're going through some hard times? How many of you know that even though there may be folk that don't like you, don't care about you, but you know that you belong to the Lord our God? Hallelujah, Jesus. It's not all about me. It's not all about no minister that you know. It's all about Jesus. If you learn a little bit more about Jesus, you know that God has something in store for you this morning. You know that when things begin to get bad, you know that you can call on the name of Jesus. I'm so glad I can call on God, because he's always there. Sometime late in the midnight hour when everybody is slumbering and sleeping and don't have time for you, how many of you roll over and talk to the Lord? How many of you open up your eyes in the middle of the night and say, Lord, I just need to talk to somebody. I've been going through and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I got my mind made up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, there are times when you got to steal away all by yourself and you can't be having the television on and listen to the telephone and listen to music. You just got to steal your mind away and say, I'm going to let God talk to me right now. See, that there are times when you got to get in the house and you got to just shut your mouth. The Bible says study to be quiet. So in other words, you got to work on it. We have a tendency that we got automatic mouths. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All you have to do is see lips and lips move. But I wonder this morning, how many of us really understand that the Bible said that we're going to have some rough roads, but the Bible put it like this: in this life. Brother Richard, in this life you're going to have trials and tribulation, but Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world. So that lets us know that there's nothing down here so hard that the God that we serve has not already overcome. So all we got to do is ask for what we want, believe that we're going to get it. If we are able to claim it, we can receive it this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. When you start talking about hard times and bad times, how many can hear mama say, there's going to be days like that, son? It's going to be days when you're not going to have what you think you ought to have. It's going to be days when you're going to have to learn how to make ends meet. It might be some days when you might have to go hungry to make sure that your children get something to eat. It's going to be days like that when it seems like don't nobody care nothing about you, but remember that the Lord God loves you. It's going to be days when you don't know where your next dime is going to come from, but God will feed you for every day at the day of Thanksgiving. How many of you know that you can pray that prayer, give me, Lord, this day my daily bread? as you go through your trials, as you remember that God has already overcome the world. Let me tell you why. The main reason why we're in a condition that we're in, that even though there's struggles, even though there's trouble, we've been loved by somebody. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I take my time this morning? See, I've been telling you that the Lord has been dealing with me. Sometimes I understand and sometimes I don't understand, but I learned to do what the Lord say do. I did find out that when I do what God say do, that the bottom line is everything turns out all right. My God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that if we believe in him, we should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is not only a future hope, but it's also the present possession of everyone who believes in Jesus the Christ. So I don't have to wait until I die to receive the blessings of eternal life. I possess that eternal life right now. Are there any believers in the house that know that you already got your eternal life? Even though that body of yours may be deteriorating, this old earthly house of mine may deteriorate, it may fall apart, but I got another build. Anybody hear what I'm talking about? The Bible says eternal in the heavens, and I thank God that it was not made by the hands of man. I want to talk about love this morning. Love and all of those that believe in the power of love. Yesterday, we celebrated Valentine's Day, where it said that billions of dollars were spent in the name of love. St. Valentine was a Roman priest that at a time when the Roman army needed strong soldiers. Didn't want soldiers that was married and had a family, because if you got a family and you got a wife, you can't keep your mind focused on what you're supposed to be doing. So St. Valentine wanted to make sure that all of the single men be inducted into the army without being married. But St. Valentine had love in his heart. He believed in the power of love, and he would secretly marry those young men when they came to him. On the 14th of February, Valentine died. So it was a remembrance of his life that on Valentine's Day, he left a little note, because why he was locked up for doing that thing that was in his heart to do. And I did the research. It says that he fell in love with the jailer's daughter. Don't you know, when you fall in love with the jailer's daughter, you're going to make more time and you're going to make hard time. You can't go in nobody's jailhouse and mess with nobody's daughter and not think that you're going to get in a little bit more trouble. So Valentine found himself dead as a doornail. But he left the love of Valentine. From that time on, we have been celebrating what we call Valentine's Day. Let us understand that this is a day of love. It's a day where we share our love one with another. Valentine's Day is not just a day for lovers. It's a day for family. It's a day for friends. It's a day of Christians that we ought to be able to share our love one with another. Too many of us go through life not really knowing what real love is all about. Some of us are caught up in superficial love, in materialistic love, in lip service love. And I wonder this morning, are you willing to take a chance on love? See, there are a whole lot of folk that will tell you that they love you, but you ought to try love by the way that you treat me, not by what you say out your mouth. How many of you know that you can't love and hate the same thing all at the same time? Somebody said, I don't want to, can't you love me like you say you do? Why do you treat me like you do?
Anybody ever tried love and found out that it wasn't love after all? You were just infatuated with somebody. You thought that they looked good on the outside, but after you got to interchanging with them and interacting with them, you found out that they weren't all what they caught up to be. How many of you found out that that one that looked in your eyes and said, I love you, baby, they were just telling you something that you wanted to hear? How many of you fell for that story and you fell short and you began to do some things that you might not ought to have done? Because you realized after you got up, he didn't love you, she didn't love you, they loved everybody. How many of you know there are some folk that'll love anybody that'll love them? Come on, church, come on, don't act like you're so holy this morning. I wonder, are you really talking about real love? Are you really knowing anything about the love of God? I'm talking about an unconditional love. A love where you don't have to do anything for me to love you. I just love you because you're you. I'm going to leave it alone. But I wonder, those of us, we talk love all the time. Saints of God, we jump up and testify, test the lie. I love everybody. About that woman you didn't speak to a while ago. What about that man you rolled your eyes at a while ago? What is love? Love is a powerful attraction one to another. It is to have high esteem or high regard. Love is the high esteem that God has for human children and the same high regard he expects us in turn to have for one another. Love is a part of God's essential part of his nature. Love is like oil to the wheels of obedience, which enables us to run the way of God's commandment. We can't say that we know anything about love unless we know God, because the Bible I read said God is love. And if you know anything about the love of God, then you ought to love one another. The Bible says, as we look here in St. John 15, 12 and 13, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. His willingness to die for his friends was proof of an unconditional love for us this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I thank God this morning for that love. I thank God that it's a true love. I thank God it's a love that will carry you through thick and through thin. I thank God it's a love that will be there early in the morning. It's a love that will be there late in the midnight hour. But if you know anything about love, love ought to be something that we ought to hold on to. If you want to know a clear definition of real love, Christian love is found in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Now, I don't have time to go through it right now. But the bottom line, they say anything that you do, if it's not done in real love, that it don't amount to nothing. It's like making a whole lot of noise and saying nothing. But if you got the love of Jesus down on the inside, you'll learn how to take some things. You will be committed to the cause of Christ. Love will make you stand when you don't want to stand. Love will make you cry sometimes. But you ought to wipe your weeping eyes and know the Lord will make a way out of no way. But I stopped by this morning to tell you about a woman by the name of Esther. Esther was a woman of God. Esther was of the Jewish descent. If you go back to the first chapter of Esther, Esther was a slave girl. She was raised by the man by the name, He was raised by the man by the name of Mordecai. Mordecai was Esther's cousin. Esther didn't have any parents. They had already died. Esther was an orphan, but things worked out in Esther's favor. I stopped by to tell some of you wives this morning, if you love your husband, don't be afraid to be submissive to the will of God. For the Bible said that when there was a time that the king called for his wife, she wouldn't come unto him. You better learn when to go and when not to go. They were living in a whole different time. You can't sit back and say, I'm the woman and I'll do what I want to do. When that man called and said, come unto me, you better get up and get to going where you got to go. Where the woman, even though she was a good looking woman, Looks won't carry you all the way. Everybody get tired of somebody that won't act right. So this is what happened to the first wife. The first wife wasn't acting right. So here come Esther one day. Somebody came and told the king, let me tell you something about your wife. She won't come to when you called her to come into the room. She would not come to the room. So I want to let you know what we ought to do. Let's go find all the fine virgin women. Let's line them up and have a beauty pageant. We're going to find you a woman that'll act right. We're going to find you a woman that you want now to be the queen of the land. I want to let you know how slave girl got elevated to the queen just by being who she was. Being where she was at the right time. If you're at the right place at the right time, you got the right attitude and the right frame of mind, God will bless you. That's what happened to Sister Esther. Esther walked through there with her fine self. And everybody was looking around at all of the women. But when Esther got in front of the king realized there ain't no need to bring nobody else. I done found what I need. For the Bible says that the king went on over to Esther, put the crown on Esther's head. That told the story right there. I made up my mind. Sister Esther, you the woman for me. I don't need to look no further. But now let us go to the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter, there's always somebody that is jealous of somebody else. We find that in the Bible, it said that they were jealous. Because Mordecai believed in the power of God. He heard the word of God, that God was a jealous God. And you shouldn't have any other God before him. So this man by the name of Haman, he came along on one given day. He was mad because Mordecai wouldn't bow down. He was mad down on the inside. He went and told the king, we got to make a decree that if anybody don't come unto you, there was already a law. You couldn't go into the king unless the king asked for you. You had to be announced to go in. Mordecai realized that I heard what they're going to do unto the Jewish people. We're going to be killed. We are going to be disposed of, but we got to have somebody to stand in our stead. It's good to have a ram in the bush. Don't you know God has somebody already planted in the right place? You don't know why or how they got there. Sister Elsa didn't know that she was there for a purpose. But Mordecai realized, I got to tell you something, Esther. You might think that you're all of that because you're in the palace and you are in safety. But you're nothing but a Jew like I'm a Jew. And when it all comes down to the wash, they're going to crucify you just like they're going to do the rest of us. So you need to go in and talk to your husband. You need to go in and ask him for a favor. Ask him to save the Jewish people. Don't let us all be destroyed. Esther began to think about this thing. Said, I can't go in unless I've been called in. It's been 30 days now, and he hadn't called me in there. Something is wrong in the house. If in 30 days you hadn't spoke to your wife or your husband, something is wrong in the house. Somebody better begin to think about it. What am I going to do now? I hadn't been in there for 30 days, and they want me to go in and make a request. But I realize that if I go in and I don't find favor, he'll kill me just like anybody else. But I want to tell you this morning, Esther took a chance on love. Esther said, that's my man. I love that man, and I'm going to take a chance. I got faith in the Almighty God, but I'm not going in there all by myself. Say, I want to let you know that if you want me to go in and speak for you, go tell all the people, get all the Jews together, tell them it's time to fast, it's time to pray. Don't eat nothing for 3 days or 3 nights. I'm going to do the same thing. My maiden's going to do the same thing. Because we need power from on high. There's something the Bible says that only comes by fasting and prayer. And I believe that's to realize that I need power. I need power to go in to see the king. So they began to pray. The Bible says after the third day, Esther came in her godly apparel, looking fine from the head to her feet. When she came in the room, I'm glad she took a chance on love. For the Bible said that the king looked at Esther. Woo! You fine today? Anything you want, it's yours today. But Esther said, I'm not going to tell you right now, but I want you to invite him to dinner. And after a while, I'll tell you what I want. You got to have somebody in the sheepfold. You remember what she had to realize? It was pointed out to her, in a time such as this, don't forget where you come from. You are where you are, maybe because God wanted you there for this time. For this is the time we need somebody. We need somebody that's on our side. That's how we feel this morning. Those of us that are glorifying Obama, we feel like we got somebody on the inside that's on our side. So when you've got that power and that hope, it gives you a mind to go on and see what the end gonna be. I'm glad that Esther took a chance on love. Are you willing to take a chance on love? The hymn that said, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was love that lifted me. Have you ever been so down and out? And just the love from somebody, just knowing that they care, a phone call, a card, a note, just a whispered prayer, just to let somebody know I'm thinking of you. And I'm thinking of you because I love you. Are you willing to take a chance on love? This is what Esther was against. And Esther realized that when I take this chance, when I go in before the king, it's a possibility that since I hadn't talked with him in 30 days, I might not find favor. But if I perish, I perish. In other words, I got to do what I got to do. If you want to get to where you want to be, you got to do what you got to do. Esther couldn't send nobody else. She was the one that had been chosen and put in that place. Queen Esther, that used to be a slave girl, but now she's the queen. Hallelujah, Jesus. We serve the same God this morning. And that's all God wanted me to tell you this morning, that if you be willing to take a chance on your love for him, know that there is no greater love than the love that he laid down his life for us, his friends. Because the word of God says, at one point he says, now I see that you are not just my disciples, but ye are my friend. Do you have a friend that will lay down his life for you this morning? If you don't, try Jesus. He's already did it. And all we're doing is waiting on him to come and carry us back home. Hallelujah, Jesus. Are you willing this morning? Hallelujah. To take a chance on love. We've tried individuals. We've tried many materialistic things to bring happiness and joy. But I heard somebody say, and I found out for myself, that can't nobody do you like Jesus. He is the one that makes the difference in our lives this morning. Are you willing? Your neighbor might not be willing, but are you willing? It's time to try Jesus. I thank God for Esther. And we see that God has a way of bringing to the light what our individual purposes in life might be. You have a purpose.
It could be a loving purpose. It could be that you're just a peacemaker. You might be one that is standing in a gap this morning, praying for your loved ones. We ask you to stand to your feet at this time. For maybe there's one this morning that would like to come, whether it's by letter, candidate of baptism, under your Christian experience. We invite you to come this morning. God is able. God can do what nobody else can do in your life. Is there one this morning that realized that I am willing to take a chance on the love of Jesus? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never or not perish, but have eternal life.